Thanks to Bob and his crew for putting this together. I know there's a lot of work involved. Bob, appreciate that. And I'm going to get right into this. One of the things that I've noticed over the years is that those who know the least about the Scripture are the ones who are most adamant and argumentative, and they get angry about their understanding, while the most knowledgeable students are always willing to listen to other ideas because they know that a lot of what we learn comes from the lips of others, those who have gone before us. And so I thought long and hard about this lesson. And you'll notice that I've titled it a study. It's not the official position of Truth for Today.
Amen.
And I told Ronnie, we may come to blows and have a fist fight before we're done.
I'd like to see that.
We might get stuff taken.
But the study here is but a framework for us to discuss this large, important subject of resurrection. And I've added to it the judgments in order to not step on everybody else. Oscar Baker, our founder, was quick to admonish his students to search and see the things that differ. Sometimes to the point of frustration, he even did that. I always wanted him to tell me how it was, you know, but he would say, well, you know, here, and he'd throw out all these different ideas, and then he'd say, search and see. So that's what we're going to do here. I think you have to look at the big picture anytime, any subject you study. You need to look at the big picture. You learn from the whole to the part. And so I'm going to try to throw out some of the parts this morning. So fasten your seat belts. We've got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. And I hope to take you maybe to a place where you've never been and maybe from where you will never return. My brother-in-law, Bill Glass, played for the Cleveland Browns. One time I was there in one of their team meetings before a game. Paul Brown was the coach at the time. He was ranting and raving, making sure that every player was on the same page in the playbook. And, you know, it was either Welch or Bullinger, I'm not sure which one. He said, oh, if my students would just make a graph. Or a chart. I think maybe Welch said that. And so what I've done, I've put together here a chart that I think can be a playbook for us to look at the big picture with some of the subject matter of judgments and resurrections. But there are two hypotheses that I want to put out for your thinking before we start. One of them is brand new. I've never heard it before. Welch hints about it. The other idea, of course, is not new and is brought forth by Mr. Welch himself. And I put them forth here for your thinking so that at least during this hour we can think all on the same page. First, we read in Scripture about a second death. Whatever it is destroyed in the lake of fire there at the end Book of Revelation. I'm therefore presenting for your perusal that if there is a second death, there must be a first. And here is the first hypothesis. The first death, I think, is spiritual and is comprised of the old man. Look in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 2 and 3, we read, set your affections on things above where Christ sitteth, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I think the first to go is the old man. I think that's the first death. It's spiritual. The second death is therefore the natural death. The wages of sin is death. So the question remains, why are you not then hurt of the second death as a Christian? Well, the reason is because of resurrection. You done flew the coop. There in Revelation, when death and the grave are thrown into the lake of fire, you are in neither. You're neither in death because of resurrection. You're not in the grave because of resurrection. When death and the grave are destroyed, you are long gone. That's the first hypothesis. That's the gospel according to Redmond. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to. But the second hypothesis is with regard to the Book of Life. The Book of Life is not a reference to the gift of eternal life. It does not contain the names of the elect, the redeemed, or the saved. If that is the case, then it is a lie to tell someone that their name may be blotted out of that book. The possibility, according to Romans 8, John 10, does not exist.
Amen.
The Book of Life is linked with from the foundations of the world. We see that in Romans 13 and Romans 17, and is associated with the martyrs. Those that are martyred, those that are killed, is a book of martyrs and is limited to the judgment seat of Christ. The Lord has promised the overcomers that He would not blot their name out of the book. With these two assumptions or hypotheses, I want to now visit our chart. I want to cover four different groups with regard to the resurrection. If you look at the column on the left, the first is the members of the one body of Christ. The second group of resurrection that I want to look at is Israel's overcomers. The third group I have referred to as Joe Christian. And the last, the unsaved. And I have some verses there. We won't spend time since we're short of time anyway. But I want to consider each of these groups with the headings across the top. The first death, the second death, the Bema judgment, which is for works, the Book of Life, which is for reward, resurrections before the millennium, resurrections after the millennium, the thrownness or the great white throne judgment, and the eternal position of each of these four groups. And by the way, I have a page of this at the end for each of you. What's it say?
She wants it now.
I don't pass it out now because you get ahead of me. It's controlling. So, we want to look at the members of the one body in Christ first. And our first hypothesis in the first column is a spiritual death. And the natural death, the second column, is the wages of sin is death. We all die. Again, I point out, why are they not heard of the second death? Because of resurrection. How so? By the shed blood of Christ and the Bema judgment. The Bema judgment. The Apostle Paul has made it clear that no redeemed child of God will ever stand condemned. He is justified and acquitted. Yet Paul looked forward to standing before a righteous judge. 2 Timothy 4:8, and there's some other verses there that you may want to look up later. Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto them that love his appearing. The tribunal before which every believer must appear is a bima, not a throne, it's the great white throne. Galatians 6:7, whatever so a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's a gift. Salvation is, but reward is earned. And although the word bima occurs only twice in Paul's epistles, the fact that he could write Colossians 3:22 makes it clear that even though the judgment seat is not mentioned in the prison epistles, the principle is restricted to no one dispensation. It is difference between gift and grace and reward in service. So there is this resurrection referred to. Paul refers to it in Philippians chapter 3, verse 11, if you want to open your Bibles. He refers to this better resurrection that Ronnie was speaking about. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as I had already attained, either were more perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ, forgetting those things which were before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. This resurrection of the church of the one body is out from the dead. It is something that is earned. It is not to do with grace. It has to do with reward. And by the way, it is before, if you look at the resurrection before the millennium, it is before week 70 of Daniel's prophecy. How do we know that? We know it by the kingdom prayer. Not the Lord's prayer, the kingdom prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That prayer is for that 70th week of Daniel, the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation time. So we know that this resurrection that Paul attained to, not as all he already had is because of grace, because of what he had attained for a prize, we know that it is before the week 70 of Daniel's prophecy. After the millennium doesn't apply. Judgment throne doesn't apply. The eternal position then of this church of the one body is heavenly. Is the resurrection the reward? No. The resurrection is the means to the reward. What is the reward? Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You see that word blessing there? That comes from the word eulogy. That is the blessing, the spiritual blessing, where the church of the one body is chosen to be there at his appearing, the epiphany in heaven. Why is this church chosen? There has to be a condition as to why they were chosen. They were chosen because 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved That word approve comes from the word appear. Study thyself to be approved to appear with Him in Epiphania. The church is there with Him. And it is this eulogy to the intent. And look at chapter 3, verse 10, there in Ephesians. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That's what's going on right now. You're getting an attaboy for your efforts in Scripture. That's why you were chosen. It had to be a condition for the reason that you were chosen. So I've covered that pretty quick, but you can look up some of the scriptures later on. I'll pass out what those all are on the sheet. Turn the page. Let's look at the next Israel overcomers. Their first death, of course, is spiritual. Their natural death, they're mostly probably killed. And here we are speaking of the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed or not, but the judgment seat of Christ is only mentioned about four times, and it only points to this group. It's not the Bema judgment. This is the judgment seat of Christ. It's a title given only to this earthly judgment. It includes the overcomer and even the nations at that time, found at His return. It deals directly with the seven churches of Revelation. It is during the time of Jacob's trouble. Trouble at the end of week 70, during that tribulation period of time. The nations, the rebels, the overcomers, the wheat, the tare, this is the judgment seat of Christ, where wrath comes in. The Bema judgment is just reward. But here we're talking about, and I didn't recognize this until here just recently, that the judgment seat only points to this particular time. Their reward is resurrection before the millennial reign. This is the first resurrection. Is the reward their resurrection? No. The reward, the resurrection, is a means to the reward, which is to rule and reign with Christ during the 1,000 years. Their eternal position in the end is the kingdom or paradise restored. Look at Joe Christian. I've used that name just cover a lot of territory. Joe Christian, first death, he's a Christian. He's dead. The old man is dying. Second death, natural death. He has no worthy works. Everything will burn. Corinthians 1, chapter 3. Let's take a look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. If any man's works abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's works shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved. So Joe Christian, he doesn't have any works. He has no real reward. He is not resurrected before the millennial reign. He comes at the end of the millennial reign. He does not go before the throne, judgment. He's a Christian. He just does not have any works. Where's his eternal position? Paradise. heaven, earth, the earth restored. John 10:16. I've got it there on the chart. Let me read it. And other sheep I have which are not in this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one shepherd. So these are those who are grafted in. They are what I refer to today as carnal Christians. They believe, but they have not studied to show themselves approved. They do not have any reward. They will not be taken out early like the Church of the One Body. They will not be resurrected to reign and rule with Christ during the millennium. There's a difference between being made meet by grace to be partakers of the inheritance, which is in Colossians 1:12, and in Romans 8, attaining to the reward of the inheritance. Each of these resurrections, as Ronnie pointed out, there's different ones, and they all come at a different time. They're all for different group, and I hope we're kind of still on the same page here. Last is the unsaved. I've got to get used to this. At the forum, we don't have this equipment, so I have to have a chart. I keep flipping it over. I'm not used to it. Push the plastic.
It's easy to push the button. Yeah.
The unsaved. He is as was Adam. He's spiritually dead. His second death, he dies a natural death. He is blotted out totally. You know, there's a lot of resurrections and there's a lot of books. If you've never noticed in the Old Testament, there's at least 11 or 12 different books. One of them is mentioned in Exodus chapter 32, verse 33. Let me read it. The Lord said to Moses, "Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." And this unsaved has been blotted out. He has no hope. But, and here's where we may get into a big fight. He does have a resurrection. Turn to John chapter 5. Verse 28. Marvel not, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, some to resurrection of life, some to resurrection of annihilation. Turn over to Romans chapter 9. Now some will tell you that that word all means only saints will hear his voice. But it doesn't say that, it says all. Romans chapter 9, verse 22. Hath not the potter power over the clay to make one vessel unto honor and one unto dishonor? What if God, willing to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? If you've got a companion Bible, you'll notice there Bullinger's note. He says, from this is it not clear that they in the resurrection, the unjust, come forth in the self-same bodies in which they entered the grave. And he bases that on the word fitted. The word fitted is katarzio. It means to fit, to complete, to set up, to arrange, to refit, to mend, reunite, and restore disjointed limbs. It's my opinion that they come out of the grave as Lazarus came out of the grave, dead. John 11:43, Christ says, come forth, Lazarus. And he that was dead came forth, and there he stands, bowing. That's my opinion, that they come forth dead. If all are going to be resurrected, then it includes these that are dead. They go before the throne judgment, and they are the rebels and others of Ezekiel chapter 20. You want to turn back to Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 33. Ezekiel chapter 20. Verse 33, I will purge out the rebels from among you, and them that transgress against me from out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. These are those that are judged at the judgment seat. Back up with Israel and the overcomers. They are unworthy of a reward, and they are on earth at his return, some of them. But they're destroyed in the second death. Never a saint, only these unsaved. Here in this judgment, they're judged dead. Some of them, of course, go on to eternal life. But not this group. They come out of the grave dead. And they go before the throne judgment with the rebels that we read about there in Ezekiel. By the way, this is eternal. When they're tossed into the lake of fire in the second death, it is eternal punishment. It is not eternal torture. The wages of sin is death, not eternal torture in hell, as is typically taught in most of today's churches. If you want to really know where that theology comes from, go read Josephus' treatise on hell, and you'll see exactly why that is taught. This lake of fire, whatever it is capable of destroying both body and spirit. And I think the situation here is that God, willing to show his wrath, he finally just, it's almost tongue-in-cheek, out these people come from the grave into the lake of fire. They know nothing. They're not conscious. They're just resurrected and destroyed. So death and the grave all at once. You may or may not agree, as Ronnie says, you know, this is just a study. I put together a chart where you can look at this and say, well, what did Redmond think? And it was, I don't know, is Redmond right or is Redmond wrong? A lot of this is comes from the writings of Welch. If you want to read some of this, if you have Mr. Welch's alphabetical analysis, you want to go to book 2, page 223, book 9, page 95, and book 6, page 137, and following. Did you get that? Book 2, page 223, book 9, page 95, book 6, page 137. could say this. Are there any questions?
Just what you last said, is that all on your chart? The pages where it's found in the alphabetical analysis of Welch's teaching on that, that you just read.
That's not on there. That's why, yeah, I should have put it on there. But those in the alphabetical analysis, if you'll go to those pages that I listed and read, there's five or six pages. You didn't get them?
I didn't get them all down.
Okay, let me go back and hit them again.
Can you do it a little slower?
Okay, book 2, page 223 to 226. Book 9, page 95 to 99. And book 6, pages 137 to 140. Now, Welch is difficult, and I may not understand him totally, but that's why I put it on a chart, to try to have a structure. This is a skeleton to go back and look. And for those of you who would like to have this, I do have a sheet that you can take and do your own study on it. It's not easy stuff. And I thought long and hard before I decided to do this, because it's graduate level Bible study. And I don't claim to be a graduate level teacher. Here it is, right here. This is the final word of God. My time is pretty much up. Got a question?
Yeah, when I think about the idea of this group, I'm wondering if you ever thought about other groups, which would be the overcomers. It would be believers who are not Israelites, who are believers, but not overcomers. Did you ever think of that group?
Yeah, there's no doubt other groups. These are not all the groups. I just picked out four that, and I didn't feel like I could cover. But yeah, I don't know about the overcomers for sure. I don't know if they all are from the seven churches and all found in that 70th week of Daniel, or if you go back and you find Stephen, for example, or some of the apostles
that suffered.
Are they part of that overcomer group? That's something to search and see. But that's a good thought, and I think there's probably some others that can be added to this, but I just tried to pick out some basic ones to get some. Like I say, you have to look at the whole of the part, try to get some idea of when these resurrections are, who they are, and the eternal position of each. Question?
So in John chapter 5, you were talking about a resurrection on the graves. Could it be that since Christ is only speaking to Israel there, that all in the graves refers to all of Israel and not all of mankind?
Could be. Okay. But you look at John, what's John written for?
Right.
That the world might know.
Right.
And
John uses Christ's words. Israel, because that's all he really had was Christ's earthly ministry to Israel. But then the narrator, John, does break off from those that he's speaking to his audience.
Yeah, it's possible. I looked at it from both directions, and with these other verses that I find in Romans and Mr. Bullinger's note, I tend to think that his wrath is shown and they're brought out and just to show his wrath, fitted together, put back together again.
Right.
So you figure it out. When you get it for sure, will you let me know?
I will. I'm about 95 years old.
In Philippians 4:3, it has a book of life. And Welch's teaching on that the book of life in Philippians is the overcomers in our dispensation. Now that's his teaching.
Yeah, the book. Yeah, I think the book of life refers to the overcomers. That's the judgment seat. But Welch teaches that this principle of the judgment, the Bema judgment and the righteous judge, covers other dispensations, but it would not technically be the book of life.
In here, it's Philippians.
Right.
According to Matthew, the Lord told Thomas the apostles that they would be sitting on thrones, so how could they be overcome? I mean, he's already placed them with him and said, when I sit on my throne, you also will sit on your throne.
Yeah.
Ruling the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't really be overcome.
That's what I said. I didn't know for sure. I don't know if the overcomers only apply to this 70th week of Daniel, or if some of the past are included in that. I tend to think that they are, because they're going to rule and reign with Christ. You've got those disciples. They're going to be, I think, resurrected. They were beheaded and killed, and you know. So I think they're going to be resurrected before the millennial reign, at the end of the 70th week, to reign with Christ. And I'm assuming they're overcomers. But some think that it's just that 1 week in the seven churches.
Yeah. Well, I kind of wondered, since he's already promised them that in Matthew, which says, you will sit on your 12 thrones as I sit on my throne.
Right.
I kind of question, why would they be overcome? Because he's already promised.
Well, some of them were killed.
I mean, nobody.
They were killed.
Nobody else has promised anything.
Yeah, well, the apostles, Peter was hung and Stephen was stoned, or not an apostle, but
yeah.
I think some of them were overcomers.
Not qualified.
Beg your pardon?
They might qualify.
They might qualify, as Ronnie says. Another question? Yes, it is a foreshadowing. That is all a foreshadowing of what is to come in this. Right. But as Ronnie said, along comes Acts 28:28 and this new revelation, and all of that was put in abeyance.
Yeah.
And we'll pick up again at, well, I guess maybe at the end of 69. It depends on what you think when the prophetic clock starts.
Yeah.
Does it start at week 68, or does it start at week 69? Is there 21 years left of Daniel's prophecy, or is there only 7? That's something else to chew on for a while. Tony.
Yeah, when we did that place, Moshe's suggestion of guests of the bride in Matthew 22:10. What was your position at that place? Sure, that was covered, or do you have any thoughts on that?
I think when they go out in the byways and they invite the other guests,
right,
those are not the nation. Those are other sheep. Those are Gentiles grafted in. And I think, like I say, carnal Joe Christians today. That's my sense. Mike.
Is this chart made up and available?
Yeah, I have a copy for everyone.
All right.
And you can take a black marker and scribble all over it. You can take a scissors and cut it up.
So we put it on a poster?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, like I said, sure, with all those colors.
I put it together as a skeleton to look at. Something that you can kind of, everybody get on the same page.
I have been to a lot of conferences over a lot of years, and I have never seen anybody do it as, whether you agree or disagree, with everything he's got on this chart, I've never seen anybody put it forth as clearly and as plainly as Pete's done, and I commend you for that. Well, this is the next level of what we're trying to do with getting understanding out there.
Well, thank you, and I thought long and hard about even trying to do it because I didn't.
Yeah, but look at the thought and questions that you could have your own question and answer.
That's right.
Session off of this study.
I didn't want Bob to throw me out and ever write me back. So that was the reason. That was the reason for my hesitation to do this. But I hope what I've done is opened up a can of worms and a lot of questions, and I've pointed you to someone who knows a lot more about this than I do, and that being Charles Welch. And by the way, our founder, Oscar Baker, was compadre with Charles Welch. Charles Welch even came from the UK and visited with Mr. Baker, and Oscar Baker went along with a lot of these ideas, and like I say, I always wanted him to tell me how it was, and he would never do it.
Well, the way you put it forth is, here's what I see, search and see for yourself, and I always commend anybody that's able to do that, so I really appreciate what you did.
Search and see the things that differ, as Paul talks about. And so with that, you're all free to come up and get a copy if you'd like to take one with you. As a matter of fact, if you want to take more than one, I think I have 100 of them here, so that should be sufficient if you want to take one to somebody else. Let's pray. Father, how grateful I am for the fellowship of the mystery and for these dear friends in Christ. I'm grateful for this magnificent word that you have left us. And again, I ask that you would give us open hearts and minds that we may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. I pray for the speakers to come, that they may show to us this vocation where we are called, that we may walk according to your good and perfect will. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.